7? Okay, seeing none, let's move on to agenda item number 8, our perchlorate cases. Mr. Thomas? Okay.
Yes, agenda item number 8 summarizes four information on four cases, and we're going to have a presentation today. The first one is listed, the Olin Corporation, and here to make the presentation to the board is Hector Hernandez and Taya Tryon.
Good morning.
Let me get this going.
Good morning, board members. Chairman Young, congratulations on your appointment. And Mr. Jeffries, same to you. My name is Hector Hernandez. I'm staff engineer and project manager for the Olin cleanup case. Tad Tryon is a staff hydrogeologist and provides technical support on this project. This morning, I'm going to discuss the issues up on the overhead. The staff report, as you will notice, is very comprehensive, so I'm not going to go into very much detail. So I'm just going to briefly touch on some of the issues that are of general interest to the board and to stakeholders. I'm going to give a brief update on what's going on with bottled water terminations. I'm also going to update the board on recent characterization activities ongoing northeast of the site. I'm going to touch on some number 2 up there that talks about the remediation activities ongoing on site. I'm also going to give some information on the results of a recent investigation at our mushroom farm, and give the board an update on the status of our review of a major submittal by Olin, namely the revised cleanup feasibility study report that we received recently, and also to give an update on the board on staff's intent to issue a replacement cleanup order for the entire Yaga sub-basin. This is a site location map, and as you can see from this figure up on top, on your top left corner, is the Olin site. This figure is taken from Olin's fourth quarter 2006 groundwater monitoring report, and it's a depiction of the site and the concentrations of perchlorate within the intermediate aquifer zone throughout the Yaga sub-basin. As you can see from the figure, the Olin site is located within the Morgan Hill, City Morgan Hill boundaries. The unincorporated area of San Martin is to the southeast, and Gilroy on the south end of the south of the site. The shaded areas depict the concentrations of perchlorate within the intermediate aquifer zone. The green represents concentrations between 4 and 6 micrograms per liter. Yellow is concentrations between 6.1 and 11. Orange is 11.1 to 24.5, and red are concentrations greater than 24.6 micrograms per liter. As you can see from the inset, right, this area here, the highest concentrations are predominantly within the area most closest to the site, which is approximately a 1 mile area south of the site. The plume extends approximately 10 miles from the site south to the south, and the 101 freeway cuts across the plume from the south to the northwest. I'm going to start with replacement water. As most of you know, Olin is required to comply with replacement water requirements pursuant to a state board order that was issued back in 2005. In accordance with the state board criteria, Olin has terminated replacement water at 518 wells. That means that they no longer provide replacement water at 518 well locations. And the reason that that is occurring is because the concentrations of perchlorate at for all of these well locations has been below the public health goal, which is 6 micrograms per liter, for a period of no less than 4 consecutive quarters. So Olin has terminated the is no longer providing replacement water at these for owners and tenants at these well locations, and the executive officer has approved that termination. Currently, Olin does provide replacement water for tenants and owners of wells at for people at the 174 wells. This includes approximately 253 households. The reason that is happening is because Olin has not complied with the termination criteria for these particular well locations. What's interesting to note is that only 41 of these 174 wells currently exceed the public health goal, which is, you know, or have concentrations greater than 6 parts per billion. And 12 of these wells are equipped with ion exchange systems, and others are in the process of are being evaluated to be equipped with these type of ion exchange systems as well. Olin has made tremendous progress in some on-site remediation activities that it has implemented. As seen, this figure shows the boundaries of the Olin site. It's a rectangular type of boundaries up there. Tennant Avenue to the south, Railroad Avenue on the west side of the site, and what this figure shows is the approximate location where soil remediation activities occurred. So these grid lines here in the bottom left corner of the site. Olin successfully completed soil remediation of approximately 41,000 cubic yards of perchloric contaminated soil. That was a very successful project and was completed late summer of 2006, and the executive officer approved the completion of these soil remediation activities in October of 2006. Olin also is operating an on-site groundwater treatment system. Groundwater is extracted from these extraction wells at the south end of the site. The contaminated water is treated at the west end or northwest side of the site at this location. And once treated, it's re-injected. The green circles up here, these are injection wells. This remediation project has also been very successful and continues operating. To date, Olin has remediated or cleaned up over 150 million gallons of contaminated groundwater at this location. Next, I'll touch on the Northeast investigation. Olin continues characterization activities throughout the Yagasa Basin. A lot of work has been done to the south, but most recently, some of the focus has been to the northeast. This is the site on the lower left-hand corner here, and this area adjacent to the site is the approximate boundaries of where recent characterization activities have been performed by Olin. There's tremendous amount of work being done. Characterization is not complete by any means. Olin is required to fully characterize the extent and degree of contamination within the all the affected aquifer zones. These shaded areas represent Olin's interpretation of the B1 aquifer plume, which is the uppermost portion of the intermediate aquifer beneath this area, and the A aquifer plume, which is the shallow aquifer zone. This is based on the information collected to date, and it's likely that it will change as the investigation progresses. Things to note on here is that PZ05, this is a new monitoring well that Olin installed recently, and PZ06 is a proposed well that should be installed in the next couple of months. It's been approved, proposed by Olin and approved by the Water Board, and investigation northeast of the site continues. This figure here shows a larger area northeast of the site. Just for comparison purposes, the previous slide showed the area bounded by these three blue triangles or purple triangles there. So this is a much larger view of the northeast area. To give you a sense of distance, the distance between the Olin site and the Anderson Reservoir up to at the top of the figure is more than 3 miles. The distance between the Olin site and these red dots up here, and I'll explain what those are later, is over close to 4 miles. Some of the features on here to note, 101 Freeway goes from the south end of the figure to the northwest. The Madrone Ponds, which are along the freeway, close to the freeway, San Pedro Ponds at this location, Main Avenue Ponds at this location. These ponds are operated by the Santa Clara Valley Water District as recharge basins. The red dots are all of the City of Morgan Hill municipal water supply wells. The dark, the black circles are private domestic water supply wells. This figure was taken from Olin's Yaga Sub-Basin Characterization Report, which was submitted a couple of weeks ago. The interesting thing to note on here, and the reason we're showing this, is because this figure shows the low concentrations of perchlorate throughout the northeast area. This is new information that we've received. We received the information, the trace concentration data from the City of Morgan Hill for all of its municipal wells, and Olin provided the trace data for all of the other private wells. One thing to note is there's a high of 4.6 at this well location, which is close to 3 miles away or north of the site, and there's some trace perchlorate concentrations in the Boys Ranch wells up at the top left-hand corner. And that's very interesting information because those concentrations and those well locations are actually on the other side of a groundwater divide. So you wouldn't expect Olin to be the source of those detections. At this time, we do not know what the source or sources of these detections are. But we are optimistic that the Water District's forensic chemistry study will give us some answers and hopefully give us a clue of what the sources are.
Mr. Hernandez?
Yes.
Yeah. I suppose that we wouldn't have known about those very small concentrations 3 or 4 miles away if we didn't have a site with a problem. And I wonder if in your experience with other background levels of perchlorate, would we expect to see 1 microgram, 1, 2, 3, if there wasn't a spill? In other words, if we were to do this kind of spot checking throughout the country, anywhere, would we find those concentrations, or would we find zero?
Well, it depends on it's a function of the detection limit and the analytical method being utilized. Up until recently, throughout this whole characterization of the Yaga Sub-Basin, the detection limit for the current analytical method has been reported at non-detect below 4 parts per billion, because anything below 4 parts per billion is considered a trace. And it's really not known with a certainty that is the actual concentration. We know that there's a concentration of perchlorate present, but we really don't know whether that if a number, for example, is 2 or 3, we really don't know if that is the true concentration. So the answer to your question is no. Unless you start reporting trace concentrations, which are concentrations between the method detection limit and the practical quantitation limit.
But you could get some naturally occurring perchlorate, right?
Microphone.
The interesting thing is that southeast of the Olin site, there are wells that are non-detect, let down to less than 1.3. I think that if you did an in-depth evaluation like this at various properties, there is a potential for detecting perchlorate, yeah. And it could be from fertilizers, right. It could be from all sorts of potential sources where the research is getting more and more up to speed that even lightning, something like that in Texas can right. show right. detections, low detections of perchlorate in groundwater. So
right. Okay, great.
This area is a little unique because UTC is up in that area. And that's
I think what Dr. Press asked, and I'm curious too, maybe you answered it, but let me just bounce it off you again. If you took the same testing methods that have been used here and just replicated it in other parts of the country, would you see similar small levels, low levels, scattered all over the place?
It's possible.
Okay. So what do we think at this point in terms of any Olin contribution to a northeast flow or contamination? I noticed in the staff report you mentioned here on page 5, northerly component of groundwater flow continues to exist in the area northeast of the Olin site. And
oh, go ahead.
What I think this means is that we feel very comfortable with how we're proceeding with the project. We're starting at the Olin site, and they're moving outwards from the site. And when we get to low concentrations like this, it gets a lot more tricky to figure out is Olin the source or not. But at least near the immediate vicinity of the Olin site, we know that the high potential that they are the source, and that's what it looks like. But when we get out this much further and with this data, is concentrations around 2, is it Olin's or not, especially if we're finding them on the other side of the groundwater divide, which, you know, all the way up 3 miles from the Olin site, you just don't think that that could be from Olin. But, you know, as I said, I think there is a strong possibility that there's other potential sources of perchlorate that far northeast. And so that's why we feel comfortable with how we're dealing with the situation, is doing a stepwise approach and going from the source out.
Do you have any feel for how far out, going in the north-northeast direction,
well, we
might be the source of that contamination?
Well, I think they've done a good job by installing the new piezometer wells, the orange or the blue triangles, and we just recently have them put in the PZ6. Yeah, so this PZ6 is the next step to find out if we see if there's higher concentrations out to that point. So.
So beyond that, you don't suspect that they might be or may have contributed to any elevated levels?
It's so hard to say.
Okay.
While we're on this figure, I'll just point out the mushroom farm. There's a mushroom farm located northwest of the Nordstrom well. I know that the most of you are probably familiar with that. Well, that it's not. It's that particular well location is where I'm pointing to. The mushroom farm is approximately 7,500 to 8,000 feet directly north of the Olin site. And as you all may recall, with the exception of Mr. Hodgen, back in springtime of 2006, Water Board staff collected several surface water samples from several mushroom farms from the Morgan Hill area. Based on detections of perchlorate at a couple of those locations, Water Board staff required that this particular mushroom farmer conduct a minimal or limited groundwater investigation to determine or confirm whether or not perchlorate had migrated down to the first encounter groundwater. Well, most recently, the required investigation was completed, and the results came back non-detect for perchlorate. Based on these results, staff does not intend to recommend or to pursue any additional characterization activities at this particular mushroom farm at this time.
Mr. Hernandez?
Yes.
Sorry to bug you. Has anybody done any testing of the mushroom product itself? Is there any reason to do that? With all the talk about food safety and so on right now, I wonder what you think. You're getting non-detect in the wells around there, so great. Earlier in the year there had been some concern about that area, so it might have been warranted to test actual product. Any thoughts about that?
Do you know anything about that?
The reason why we think that there was bleach in their wastewater was from rinsing of the floors and the equipment that is used with bleach. And I don't think that bleach is actually used on the mushrooms.
No,
it's just used to clean workers' feet,
uh-huh.
The growing rooms after they put in a new batch. So I don't think the products are actually, or the mushrooms are clean with the bleach.
Okay, thanks.
Well, we'll continue. Recent submittals. Recently, Olin submitted three major technical reports. The most important of the three, well, all three are very important, but the major one is the revised cleanup feasibility study report for the entire Yaga sub-basin. They submitted an Area 1 plume migration control feasibility study report and an Area 1 plume migration control work plan. The revised cleanup feasibility study report addresses deficiencies that the water port staff outlined in its response to the original cleanup feasibility report that was submitted last summer. The other two reports address the feasibility of implementing plume migration control measures and remediation for the highest contaminated area, which is namely Area 1. Area 1 is an area approximately 1 mile long from the site and going to the south. This is the area that has the highest concentrations of perchlorate, and these plume migration control feasibility study and work plan address the implementation of remediation measures within that area. Recently, the City of Morgan Hill and its consultants submitted comments concerning the cleanup feasibility study report. We anticipate we will also receive comments from the Santa Clara Valley Water District concerning these reports. So we're waiting for those comments before we finalize our review or response letter. At this time, I cannot get into specifics about what our specific response will be because we haven't completed our review and we need to share that with Olin before we do that with anybody else. But I can tell you that our objective is to move forward. We believe there's sufficient information provided to move the project forward towards remediation. It is our objective to require the implementation of remedial actions in an expedited fashion. So what's next? As soon as we obtain sufficient information concerning the feasibility of groundwater cleanup, it is staff's objective to issue a replacement cleanup order to address the entire Yaga sub-basin. We intend for the replacement cleanup order to include, or to specifically include, a groundwater cleanup strategy. We also aim to include a specific cleanup schedule and incorporate a cleanup level or cleanup goal, if we cannot agree on a cleanup level, for all affected areas. We aim to have this replacement order issued by the Water Board at a public hearing, as opposed to issuing it administratively by the executive officer. Based on the current schedule, and I know that the staff report indicates that we anticipate issuing a draft order by the spring of 2007, we've relooked at that again, and based on schedules and best case scenario, we anticipate that a draft order will be available for public comment and review by the summer of 2007. And that's a very optimistic schedule at this time. At this point, we're open to answer any specific questions or provide any clarification on any issues discussed.
Any board questions? Dr. Hunter.
Thank you for the report. And I recall that, and I see in the report, there was a meeting held February 2nd of the perchlorate community advisory group. And I know we've had speakers from that community and representing that group come to the board at previous reports and updates. I'm curious, what are the current issues? Are they satisfied with the way the progress is going? And do they have requests of Olin or of the process itself that are being met, and kind of what's your best sense on that?
We had a PCAG meeting, or one of these public meetings, last Friday up in San Martin, and during the meeting we hadn't met for a couple of months, so we asked the PCAG to provide any comments on these recent submittals from Olin, and to give us a sense of whether they're satisfied with the process, whether they want to, they have specific requests, or exactly what you just asked. And the response we got was that, everybody seems a little frustrated with the speed at which some of these things are going. Granted, even though they are satisfied and they acknowledge that there's a tremendous amount of work being performed, being conducted, and we are making a lot of progress, but the frustration is, when are we getting to the actual cleanup? When is that going to occur? And their specific recommendation in relation to these recent submittals is, let's move forward. Let's not delay the process any further than we need to, and let's implement active remediation, which is exactly what the board staff's objective is and will continue to be.
So I'm glad to hear that, and I understand the frustration, because it does take time to sort out the complicated picture. But are there any substantive issues that they are looking for in terms of resolving? I know the cleanup, of course, but are there any health issues or any other questions that they want to see as part of the information that's coming through this process?
Well, one of the frustrations that they have is with the the public health goal for perchlorate. The public health goal was increased from 4 to 6 several months ago, and many of these folks are not 2 years ago. Well, many of these the affected folks are the people that have concentrations of perchlorate in their wells are no longer receiving replacement water because the concentrations fell below the public health goal. So a lot of them are still concerned, and rightly so. I mean, there's a lot of unknown still about the long-term effects of even low concentrations of perchlorate to human health. And many of them have chosen to continue buying bottled water on their own. They're frustrated with that primarily. I mean, that seems to be one of the major issues that comes up every single time we meet.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Any other board questions? Mr. Shellcross.
Yeah, I think this might be for Lori. I know the board wanted to use four parts per billion as how should I say it, as our own goal, and that was sent back by the State Water Board, and they said no, you have to use 6. Is that right?
That was for replacement water. You're not on.
That was for the replacement water.
Right.
And that order said that it didn't apply to establishing a cleanup level. Under 9249, the guidance that we follow in setting cleanup levels, they have to achieve background, which would be non-detect or some low level, as Teo was saying, unless it's technically or economically unachievable, and that's part of the analysis that they're in the process of doing. It's kind of a marginal benefit of spending more money.
Mm. But going back to the replacement water issue, is that the end of our – do we have an appeal or is that it? We've been told that it's six and that's it.
That's okay. Unless OEHA or Department of Health Services were to lower that number, then we could change the order to be consistent with whatever they do. And I think they are looking at it because of the new studies that came out. But so far what they're saying is they see no reason to, at least OEHA, to revise the PHG at this point.
Okay. Is that it? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have actually one speaker. It just occurred to me. About one card. Mr. McNish, did you wish to address the board?
I'm sorry?
Did you wish? Pardon me. That's Scotts Valley.
You know, it just... I have a card dropped off.
Mr. Jim Ashcroft.
There we go. Yeah, Jim Ashcroft. There we go.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Jim Ashcraft, Public Works Director for the City of Morgan Hill. As you know, we've testified before the board several times. We really have our undivided interest here in the Olin case in the southern limits of the city these days. City has appeared before you several times in the past 4 years and has interacted with your staff on numerous issues relating to the Olin cleanup. I am here today to thank you for the December 21st, 2006 amendment to the CAO naming Olin as a discharger for the northeast contamination and to emphasize certain key inadequacies of Olin's recent reports. The city looks forward to working with the Regional Water Quality Control Board on the steps required to investigate the northeast contamination, and we look forward to receiving a timetable setting forth the due dates of various reports as deemed necessary by your staff. The city will, as it has always, continue to cooperate with your board staff and Olin as necessary to achieve the goals as set forth in the CAO. There has recently been suppositions by Olin that the continuous pumping of the city's tenant well has negatively impacted the current on-site pump and treat system. The city needs this water only in the summer months, but operates the system 24/7, 12 months a year, because Olin requested it. If there is a need to shut down the well for testing, that must be done promptly before the summer, or the shutdown will have to wait until fall. Regarding Olin's December 6, 2006 revised cleanup feasibility study, alluded to by Hector earlier, staff has sent in a letter to the regional board staff, as noted. We've also, our council has sent a briefing to your council. I would like to emphasize quickly several shortcomings of that revised feasibility study. The feasibility study yet again fails to meet the requirements as set forth in your October 6, 2006 letter. I'd also like to point out Olin's failure to acknowledge or address the ongoing occurrences of perchlorate in the deep aquifer in the area northeast of the Olin site. Olin's rejection of facts, which detail that in the deep aquifer there is likely a plume that reaches the city's Nordstrom well. Olin's continued rejection of the feasibility of cleanup to background without any substantiation. Olin's continued resistance to determine background. Olin's continued assertion that cleanup only needs to be to the PHG, which really is the antithesis of the state's policy of non-degradation. Olin's continued assertion that natural attenuation should be the primary cleanup methodology. Olin's failure to use established EPA guidelines for costing the remedy. Olin's continued reference to phantom sources to shift the blame to others. We also note that much of Olin's assertions are based upon a model that hasn't been made public, therefore we really don't know what the model is capable of. Regarding Olin's December 6, 2006 Area 1 cleanup feasibility study, it also suffers from most of the same inadequacies as the revised FS. The city's residents are still bearing part of the cost of cleanup of Olin's perchlorate. We urge the board to address the issue of cleanup of the basin, both south and north of the Olin site, as quickly and conclusively as possible. There should be no reason that the city should be doing Olin's work. The city, again, would like to thank your staff for their continued work on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ashcroft. Any questions for Mr. Ashcroft? Okay, thank you. All right, this concludes that agenda item. Why don't we move on to a